the most beautiful aroma that God has ever detected. Coming from this planet was the aroma of the perfect sacrifice of Jesus that was offered once and for all on the cross. As Christ imitated the Father, so we are called to imitate Jesus.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. We are so glad you've joined us today for Love Never Fails. Today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, The Believer's Lifestyle, as he continues his study from the New Testament epistle of Ephesians. Now let's listen in.
Sacrifice and offering you don't desire, meaning God, you don't desire that, but a body you have prepared for me, meaning Jesus' body when he was born of a virgin. He says, and you know what? In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, Father, you have no pleasure. No pleasure. No, what did John the Baptist say? Oh, when he saw Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and when he was coming down to be baptized, he said in John 1:29, Behold, the Lamb of God, meaning the sacrifice of God, the offering of God. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the entire world. It says in Isaiah 53:10, Oh, that it pleased the Lord to bruise him, to make his soul an offering for sin. Jesus said in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. That word, you should study it. I am perfectly good. There's no one like me. I am perfect. I am good. I am the good shepherd who gives, meaning who gives his life of his own volition. He wanted to die for the sins of the world. He wanted to die for you and me. Amen? The Bible says in Hebrews 12:2, it says, For the joy that was set before him, he endured the shame of the cross. What was the joy that was set before Christ? Us, the world, people that's going to be saved. He died for the world, loved one. No, he's the good shepherd. He died. He gave his life for you and me. Jesus told us in John 15:13, he says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay one's life down for his friends. And how did God prove his love? It says in Romans 5:8, But God proves or demonstrates his own love that while we were yet sinners, Christ, he died for the ungodly. You know, one of the great scriptures about understanding the love of God and imitating the love of God and how we need to walk in the love of God is 1 John 3:16. It says this, By this we know love. I love that. Okay, how do we know love? The word know there in Greek is gnosko, meaning by this you experience God's love in you. It says, because he, Jesus, he laid down his life for us. Here it comes. We ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. There it is, being an imitator of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He gave himself for you and me, a sacrifice, an offering, a sweet-smelling or well-pleasing aroma unto God. I love what Spurgeon said about that scripture that I just quoted there. He said this, The sweetest fragrance, the most beautiful aroma that God has ever detected coming from this planet was the aroma of the perfect sacrifice of Jesus that was offered once and for all on the cross. As Christ imitated the Father, so we are called to imitate Jesus. We do that when we live a life of love. It says that Jesus gave himself for us, an offering, sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Now, I want you to listen to me. We are our Father's dear children, beloved children. When we imitate the most perfect human being, the God-man, who ever lived on this planet, whenever we imitate the love of Jesus, and when we do that, what happens? We then become the sweet aroma of Jesus Christ to our Father in heaven. We are then walking and we are like the fragrance of Christ. We're not the source of that fragrance. Jesus is the source of that fragrance. Amen? Listen to this scripture, 2 Corinthians 2:15. I love this. For we are, present tense, we are to God. Write this very minute, loved one. We are to God the fragrance of Christ. Is there a greater honor than that? That God the Father, He sees us walking and imitating Jesus and walking in the love of God. And He goes, "Woo, that church smells good. That church across the street, I don't know about them, but this one, no, I'm joking. Do you understand? They said, we smell like Jesus. Listen to me. Do you know that whenever people come to church, they visit here? Of course, we're not anything like we used to be, but we're going to be again. One day we're going to all be back. Amen. But you know what? People would always write me back then, you know, before the virus hit. I mean, visitor after visitor. Remember how we used to go to the Welcome Center and they had gifts given to them and all? But listen, they would always write. I can't tell you how many letters and letters over the last 28, 29 years now. It's like when we walked into Calvary Chapel, we knew that there was love there. We felt love. We were loved. Well, love never fails. See, that's who you are. They walk in, they go, "What's that smell?" "Oh, it's Jesus." And then they stay. Why? Because they know the Lord is here. Be imitators of God, of our Lord, as Jill children. Walk in love. Imitators, not imitation. Amen. And that's why Paul, in the next verse, the Holy Spirit moved him in verse 5 to use that word, but. You imitate the Lord. Don't you ever be an imitation, because the things we're going to read right now have nothing to do with Jesus Christ. They have nothing to do with walking in love. They have nothing to do with acting like our Lord or even thinking like our Lord. He says, look at it. He says, but fornication, we all know what that is. That's having sex outside of marriage. Okay? It means, but it's more than that. It means any kind of sexual sin. Covers it all. Of course, I'm going to get 1,000 letters now for that one. You know, but that's the truth. It's the word of God. It's not my word. It's His word. And I'm not ashamed of the word of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, Jew or Gentile. Amen? That's right. We never be ashamed of God's word. He says, that fornication? No, that's horrible. He says, and uncleanness? Get rid of it. What's the next one? Covetousness. Don't be greedy. Listen, we don't need to be greedy. We're co-heirs with Christ. All things are ours. Amen? We're children of the kingdom. No, he says, let it not even be named among you, man. It's not fitting for saints, the holy ones, God's holy ones, us. Neither filthiness and, foolish talking, coarse jesting. They're not fitting. Here's what our mouth is to be doing. We're to be giving thanks unto God, amen? Giving thanks always unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord for all things. Rejoice always. What does it say? It says, for this is the will of God. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus, that we give thanks. Amen? He says, you get those things away from you. Listen, fornication, all these sins that are listed here, okay? Guys, listen to me. You know, these sins, they're considered the norm today. You can do anything today, any lifestyle. Man, our world, America, we are living in the greatest darkness of my lifetime right now. Think about that. I'm 70 years old, loved one. Think about that. I've seen so much, but I have never in my lifetime, and I've been in many different parts of the world, I have never seen the wickedness that this nation is producing now. But it's the norm. There's not a restraint. Everything is okay. Evil is called good. Good is called evil. Back whatever that scripture is in Isaiah 5:20. Darkness is now light and all the rest of it. Loved one, listen. No, this right here, these sins, all the sins, they're a violation of God's love. They're a complete violation of the lifestyle of love. Why? Because the things that we just read, they're not love. They're imitation love. Do you understand? They're imitation love. They're counterfeit love. They're phony love. It's selfish love. It's conditional love. It's worldly love. It's fallen love. This is not the lifestyle of love, because their lifestyle of love is conditional. And not only that, loved one, it's without commitment. You know, I want that. I'm going to get that, but I'm not committed to you. No. And look what Paul says now in verse 5. For this you know, that really could read, for this you know to the Ephesians and to us with absolute certainty. We know it. We understand it. He says that no fornicator, no unclean person, nor a covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. why do they not have any inheritance? Now, he's not talking about a Christian here. He's talking about the lost, okay? He's not talking about a believer that I fell into sin. I fell into sexual sin, but and I repented. I got out of that junk. Now, he's not talking about that. This is about a person who that is their lifestyle. It's an habitual lifestyle. It doesn't bother them at all. No, they're lost. They're in Adam, and in Adam all die. The old man is corrupt, remember, and grows corrupt. He says, this you know has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. You know, I wish I had time to really go into our inheritance, but there's one thing I want to bring out. If you went back, you can just write it down, but if back to chapter 1 in Ephesians verse 18, do you know it talks about inheritance? But the inheritance here is that when God says the inheritance are the saints of God. In other words, God's inheritance is you, the church. Think about that. In other words, that word, we are God's treasure. It says we are God's workmanship. The church of Jesus Christ is the greatest work that God the Father has ever done and has been hidden in his heart from all eternity. And then at the perfect time, he let the mystery out, that he was going to take two different people, Jew and Gentile, and make them one person, make them one body, and make them that supernatural church. Man, when I think about that, I go, dear Lord. Listen, a person is either in the kingdom or a person is outside the kingdom. You say, that's horrible, Bill. Yeah, I know it. That's why we are the ambassadors of Christ in COVID season and out of COVID season, okay? Amen. Now listen, that's why Paul said something. For you know, he said. You know with absolute certainty. So let's ask a question. Why is it that so many do not know? The next verse tells us. Look at it, verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words. He says, for because of these things, empty words and all the sins that we just talked about, he says, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. What is an empty word? When Paul uses that, what does that mean? An empty word, loved one, literally means what Paul was saying. A word, an empty word is a word that has no truth in it. It's devoid of truth. Empty words are the greatest deceiver in the world today. Amen? Because an empty word, something that's not true, is a lie. And a lie can lead people straight to hell. Amen? Let me give you a perfect example in the 21st century of an empty word that's preached from the pulpit today. Just come to Christ. Come to him now, and all your problems are going to be over. You have not had trouble until you become a Christian. Then you're born from above, and you realize, I have an old man. He wants to rule. Now I have a new man. There's a war going on between the spirit and the flesh. They're contrary one to another. Amen? And now you're growing in Christ-likeness. And now you know the devil's against you. Man, and then people hate you for no reason. And why? It's because Jesus is in you. That's when your troubles really begin. You see what an empty word that is? Here's another one. Just come to Jesus. He's your Savior. No, they forget that Jesus has to be your Lord. See, so I'm saved, live any way you want. No, you can't do that. What did Jesus say in Luke 6:46? He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you do not do the things I ask you to do? Remember that group in Matthew 7:21? Remember what he says? He says, many in that day, meaning the day of judgment, many in that day shall say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, do many wonderful works in your name? And Jesus is going to look them in the face in that day and say, depart from me, you doers of iniquity. I never knew you. I never had a relationship with you. I didn't know you. He didn't criticize their wonderful works. He didn't criticize their preaching. He didn't criticize casting out demons. He said, you never did the will of God. You never followed me. I was never the Lord of your life. See, we don't want to live on empty words. We want to live on the truth of God's word. Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Amen? Now, I don't have time to really go through the wrath of God there. It says the wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience, and here's what I encourage you to do. We know who the sons of disobedience are because we used to be the sons and daughters of disobedience. Read later Ephesians chapter 2 and chapter 3. We were in Adam. We wanted to live our own way. We were spiritually dead in trespasses and sins, and we had to be made alive. and we were sons of disobedience, I mean, that was our nature. We could only act one way, and that would be against God because we didn't have the Holy Spirit living in us. We were dead. It was our natural man that was living, the old man in Adam, and that wrath that's coming. People say, well, Bill, you know, the wrath that's coming, you're talking about the Old Testament wrath, right? Where God rains fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, that was the wrath of God. Or the ark, you know, when Noah got in the ark, the whole world was destroyed. If you read Romans 1:18 about the wrath of God is not past tense, future tense, it's present tense, okay? Meaning the wrath of God has never ceased. So we know what happened in the old covenant, but we also, is the book of Revelation, the wrath of God? Yes, that's coming on, that great tribulation period. Oh man, loved one, listen. So the wrath of God is present tense, and it rests on the sons of disobedience. See, it says, Jesus said in John 3:36, he who believes in the Son, you believe in him, you've confessed him in your heart, man, you have everlasting life. But he says, but whoever does not believe in the Son, never, he's not even going to see life at all, real life. For the wrath of God rests upon him. The wrath of God is not against people. He loves people, but God hates sin. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Amen? That's how much he hates sin. He let Jesus die for the sins of the world. Yes, and in the end times, the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon a Christ-rejecting, ungodly world that refuses to repent, that even had every opportunity to repent. Listen to me. You know that verse in Matthew where it says that the gospel must be preached to every nation and then the end will come? Okay. And people take that and go, okay, we've got to preach to every nation on earth. That's not what that scripture is even referring to. When you get over, I don't know where it's at, what is it, Revelation 14 or someplace, who preaches the everlasting gospel to all the world in every tribe, in every language, all over, in every person in the world? Who is it? It's the angels of God. Remember? God wants everyone to repent. He gives them chance after chance in the great tribulation period. But they don't want anything to do with him. They just hide under the rocks. They curse him. They know who the plagues are from. Oh, listen, loved one. The wrath of God is, yes, future, but yet it still rests upon those sons of disobedience today. Look back at verse 5 with me, and let's try to get ready so we can go home and cook a hamburger. And look at the end of verse 5. It says, you know, don't be deceived with these empty words, you know. But it says, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God? The kingdom. What is the kingdom of Christ and of God? That is the area of the realm of God's rule, God's authority, God's grace, God's love, God's provision, God's forgiveness. Do you understand? That's the kingdom of God. The Bible tells us in Psalm 10:16, the Lord is king. Now listen, forever and ever. I love that. It says in Psalm 103:19, the Lord has established his throne in heaven. His kingdom rules over all. It's ruling right now. Psalm 145:13, your kingdom is everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Even Jesus, after he was resurrected in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, when he showed himself alive after many infallible proofs to the disciples, what did Jesus do? What did Jesus teach? It says he was teaching them things pertaining to the kingdom of God. That's how important it is. What did Jesus tell us in Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first. That word means that's top priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, that's the requirement. That's the priority. Now listen to the promise. All these things will be added unto you. Added unto you. What things? The word these things, if you go back and read in context, the things pertaining to our life, loved one. You're going to make it. You're not going to go under. Jesus is going to get you through it. Amen? Yes. He's always going to get us through. Man, all God has to do is speak a word and it does. Listen, heaven is the place of your provision. I pray that you're seeking him, going after him. Knocking and seeking and asking. That's what we are to be doing. The Bible says in Luke, when Jesus was talking about the same passage there from Matthew 6:33, Jesus said unto them, he says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's delight or your Father's pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. We are part of the kingdom. Oh, I don't know. I just get excited. I'm sorry. It turns me on, man. I mean, we're part of the kingdom of God. We're going to be in heaven together, and we're going to really like each other there. Do you understand? It's going to be good, folks. It's going to be wonderful. So what does Paul say? Talking about those sons of disobedience, all those crummy sins. He says in verse 7, therefore, it's a command, therefore do not be partakers with them. What does that mean? He said, don't you share in their guilt? Don't you share, become a partner in their sin? Don't you partner with them? Don't you partner with their everlasting punishment? He says, no. He says, you imitate God as dear children. And then verse 8, where we're going to pick up next Sunday, for he says, for you were once, past tense, darkness. That's who we were. What a word. I've never called myself darkness, have you? For we were once, past tense, but now, present tense. But now, you are light in the Lord. Walk in the light. What a great scripture. I do not believe that there's truly anything such as an imitation Christian. You're either a Christian or you're not. No, loved one, listen. It does no good to call Jesus Lord unless we're going to let him be the Lord and be the follower. It doesn't do any good to be like Mary and Martha. You know, remember what Mary did? You know, she sat at the feet of Jesus. That's a great place to be. Jesus told Martha, leave her alone. You know, Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. She was sitting at the feet of Jesus. But here's the deal. There's nothing wrong sitting at the feet of Jesus, loved one. But then you have to rise up and follow in his footsteps. Amen. See, that's what we are called to do. The greatest love that I've ever experienced in my life was when I was forgiven by God. And I knew I was forgiven. I knew I was clean. I knew that my sins that I tried to pay for, that I tried to ignore, that I tried to earn love and couldn't. The greatest love I've ever experienced is when I knew that I truly had been washed, truly had been forgiven, that my sins are buried so deep they can never be found again because of Christ. Amen. I read a story this week, and I'm just going to close with it very quickly, and we're going to pray. But it's talking about undeserved forgiveness. Boy, I understand that. The guy's name is Robert Falconer, and he was witnessing to this young girl and in a very destitute part of town in the city. And he was reading to the people that were there, but especially this young girl, from the story about, you know, the woman there who was anointed Jesus, you know, with the perfume and all that, and her tears, she was crying, and tears covered the feet of Jesus, remember? And she wiped them with her hair. Y'all remember that story? And that's the story he was using. And then it says here, he says, and while I was sharing that story from Christ, he said, I heard a loud sob, and I looked up at this young, very thin girl whose face was horribly disfigured because of smallpox. He says, after he spoke a few words of encouragement to her, listen to what this girl said, who had gone through smallpox. Her face was horribly scarred, disfigured. She said this after hearing that great story about the woman who wiped Jesus' feet with her tears and her hair. She said, will Jesus ever come again? You know, the one who forgave that woman. She said, I've heard that he will come again, and will it be soon? And he replied, he said, well, he could come at any time. Why do you ask that? And she started sobbing uncontrollably again. And she said, well, sir, see, you think he could just wait a little while because my hair ain't long enough to wipe his feet? Praise God. What a word. Amen. Undeserved forgiveness. Who would ever think like that? I just want to let my hair grow out, and I want to wipe his feet when he comes again. Therefore, be ye imitators of God, because you are his dear children.
We'll be back tomorrow to continue Pastor's study from Ephesians, and we hope you won't miss the broadcast. Thanks everyone for listening along with us today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.